Last week when we were talking about, and it didn't tape. And I'm going to tell you, if you missed it, you missed a really powerful teaching, and I cannot redo it the way we did it. But I can real quickly now go over some of the principles. But we were talking about lawlessness, and that even if you break the law, if you break the law, then you have no authority over lawlessness. In other words, if you break the law by breaking the speed limit, or you break the law by not paying taxes, or you break the law by not claiming your tips on your paperwork, anything that you do to break the law, do you understand what I'm saying? This is what we talked about last week, causes you to be bowing or submitting to the spirit of lawlessness. If I'm bowing and submitting to the spirit of lawlessness, I have no authority over the spirit of lawlessness, okay? Once we saw that, we all went to renounce and repent for breaking the law, and it's not up to us if we agree with the law or not. And the only exception is if a law of the land goes against the laws of God, then God's laws rule, okay? Because if a law of the land goes against the laws of God, guess what the spirit behind that law is? Lawlessness. It's a spirit of lawlessness in charge. So I'm not going to submit to that. For example, abortion is legal in America, but abortion is a spirit of murder. It's a strong spirit of lawlessness. Therefore, if I submit to abortion, even though it's legal in America, I am still breaking God's law, and I am submitting myself to lawlessness, which gives me no authority over lawlessness. Do you understand what I mean? But a lot of laws, you know, maybe we don't like, you know, some people might want to argue that no one should tell an adult if they have to have a car, a seatbelt on. You know, what's this big brother? Everybody has to wear seatbelts. It doesn't matter. You can't find in God's word where it says, thou shalt not wear a seatbelt. Okay? So in that situation, you have to submit to that law, or you're submitting to lawlessness. Okay? Does everybody get that? And what happens when Lord gives you, when you get the fear of the Lord, I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm afraid that if I don't submit to God, then lawlessness has authority in my life, which means if somebody wants to break into my house and rob it, I can't stand up and take authority over it necessarily. Now, God can still give us grace as we're growing and maturing, because he's awesome and he's powerful, and he can even have somebody stand in the gap and pray for you and stop things. Praise God. But there comes a point of growing up and entering into your inheritance. There comes a point where God wants you to grow up and become a son or daughter of God. And in that place, have the authority that God's given you. And that authority includes having authority over lawlessness. Okay? But if I'm still bowing to lawlessness, I have given up my right to have authority over lawlessness. And there's not a person in this room, I hope, who has any major issues with breaking the law. It's more of the little things that you just don't think are that important. But the fear of the Lord is to understand, well, it is that important if it means that it gives Satan a right of way to come with lawlessness and attack my family and my home, right? Well, then all of a sudden it's not worth going over the speed limit. All of a sudden it's not worth not buckling the seatbelt. All of a sudden it's not worth, you know, parking where it says no parking or whatever the thing is. See, as we've put this building together, God has made us to submit in a big way to every ordinance, rule, code, and law when we didn't want to. And some of them really did not make sense and still don't make sense. And God kept telling me, quit going by principle, quit going by principle. Because you want to go, well, it's the principle of the thing. Well, that's not biblical. The principle of the thing that God looks at is, I say, to submit to authority for your protection. Well, now I'm starting to say, well, to submit to authority for my protection, what do you mean? I mean, if I submit to authority for my protection, I'm actually protected by God's authority, by God's rule, by God's angels. Do you see what I'm saying? Now it's like, oh, if I don't submit to authority, then I lose all that. And that's the fear of the Lord. Okay. Well, God, it's not worth it to me to break this little tiny rule of theirs and then lose your favor and then lose your protection. And so that's why you have to train up your children to obey. You have to teach them to obey. You don't teach them to argue about all the laws. You teach them to submit and obey the laws because it's for their protection. It's for so that God can divinely protect them. Okay, does everybody understand that? So last week, and like I said, we don't have this on tape. It's a shame that we don't. We were talking about with lawlessness, it was as if some people were holding the hand of God and they really wanted the things of the kingdom, and they really loved the things of God, and they wanted to be a part of the kingdom, but yet there was still something holding them into the kingdom of darkness or into lawlessness. But then as we got the revelation, we realized, wait a minute, if you're born again of God and the Spirit of God lives in you, the devil cannot hold you in darkness. You are holding the hand of the devil. You are choosing to believe his lies. You are choosing to live in disobedience. You are choosing to be rebellious. You are choosing to hang on to your junk. Do you see what I'm saying? And that made it a whole different story. And then we had a powerful altar call, and you should have been here because it was a lot of fun. And we had people let go of the enemy's hands and tell and rebuke him and tell him to leave in their own words at the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then the power of God took everybody, I think everybody but two or three people, down all the, under the power and set them free from where they held on to the enemy. I want you to get this revelation, because this revelation will change the way you look at inner healing deliverance. This revelation will change your thinking of when you can get free. Satan cannot hold you. It is a fact. If you are a born-again believer, Satan has already lost. Okay? That's good news. That means anyone in this room really could get completely free tonight, because Satan is defeated. You're not waiting for Satan to be defeated. He is defeated. Jesus Christ already defeated him. It is finished, is what the Lord said. It is over. You lost, devil. What we're trying to do on Tuesday nights, what we're doing with inner healing and deliverance, what I want you to actively be doing in your groups, not fellowshipping, not talking about the latest, you know, Bible craze, or sporting event. I want you in your groups to be helping the other people in your group let go of holding the hand of the devil. Let go of those things that you recognize are not lining up with the Word of God. Folks, if we can help pry each other's fingers loose from the lies, from the grip of the enemy. He's history. He's history. And that's what we want to get to, okay? And it was just powerful revelation that, so when you say, well, I can't, I've tried and tried. Quit trying and let go. With a lot of you, it's control issues. With a lot of you, it's things you're still trying to be in charge of. With a lot of you, it's fear. Satan holds on. You're scared to let go of him because you're afraid of something. And he knows that. And he's holding on with whatever lie he's fed you. Okay? And so what you want to do is you want to make sure that you are not living in lawlessness, that you are breaking totally free from the kingdom of darkness, and you don't want anything else to do with it. And God, if there's an area where I'm still bound in the kingdom of darkness, then Lord, I ask you, Holy Spirit, show me, give me revelation, teach me how to get free. And people started praying that last week, and we've done some inner healings and deliverances this week. I think there was a new maturity that was really on many of you. I had somebody tell me, I don't know if it was Lisa, but somebody was telling me, a couple of people were telling me, I just, all of a sudden, I'm really excited about ministry. All of a sudden, I want to minister. All of a sudden, I want to pour out. It's like I graduated, and I know that I've let go of what the enemy wants in my life, and I'm ready to go for the things of God. Yes! Because that's where we have to get to as a group, as a body of believers here in Denby, on Denby Boulevard. We need people to help minister in these groups so that we can see people free. I really am not I don't live a boring life, and I don't sit around trying to think of something to do. And so I have no desire just to have a lot of people sitting here fellowshipping and having a good time unless we're having family night or something. I really, really, with all my heart, you just don't know how many times I pray and how much I pray and how much I seek the Lord. I really want to see people free. It's exciting to see people free. It's exciting to see people who Satan thought he had, even Christians that he knew that he was going to destroy them. He was going to hurt them. He was going to keep them in shame. He was going to make them feel like nothing forever. It is awesome to see those people set free and then making the devil wish he had left them alone. And there's something very powerful about being an overcomer and seeing others overcome and seeing Satan defeated like he has been since Calvary. It's great seeing the devil powerless, not only in your own life, but in the lives of others. And so that's what God is doing. You know, that's the excitement of what's going on. That's the reason we should be running to the conferences and doing these things is to see Christ built up in us and to see Satan defeated. And so that we can pour out from that victory, so that we can become those sons and daughters of Christ, so that we can reveal Christ. My heart's desire is that people see the real Jesus, not the traditional, boring Christian version that makes him seem like heaven's going to be hell. but that they see this awesome, passionate, exciting, leaping for joy, loving little kids, fun to be with Jesus. And that's what we're going to see. I can't wait until we get into the Cornerstone series on Sunday morning and really see Jesus in the anointing. Whoa. What'll change your life is seeing Jesus.